Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Good morning, everyone out there. Good morning. It is such a pleasure to have you all join us this early. For some of you all, I realize that it's not so early because you get up and on a daily basis and have your worship and your time with God, your precious time with God. So for others like me who are not accustomed to getting up so early, I want to thank you all for getting up so early to join with us this morning for our praise, our worship, our testimonies, and all of those things that we do for prayer, a special prayer. Today is our International Divine Intervention Day. Today is our International Divine Intervention Day, and we're so happy that you all joined us. I want to go ahead at this time without delay and bring in my co-host, Principal LeBron. I'm so very excited to have her as part of this team. She brings great contributions. Ms. LeBron, why don't you go ahead and say your good morning to our listening audience.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so excited today. Today we have a lot of great things for you, people that are coming on, and we have testimonies and our theme today, just to let you know, is how to know that God loves you. You know, we're living in a world right now, there's a lot of hate that's going on, but the best love of all is God's love. And just to remind you of how to know that God loves you today. So today is hang tight. To know there's a special blessing in this program for you. Right now while you're listening, if you can just invite a friend along, just, you know, call in someone or text someone, say, come on, you know, I want you to hear this. I want you to listen in. All right? So we have something special for you. Okay, this morning, as we're starting our program, we have a welcome that's going to be given by Sister Rochelle Wahlberg. Sister Rochelle, are you on the line?
I am on the line. Hi there. Good morning. Happy Sabbath.
Yes,
good morning. Happy Sabbath. Yes. Let me just, before Sister Wahlberg comes on with our welcome and purpose this morning, I'm just going to make certain that we have our participants who are scheduled to be in. Thank you for bringing that intro in, Ms. LeBron. Let me just go with the first six numbers so that I can make certain that our participants are here. Let's go to 561-480. Is that you, Ms. Wahlberg?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And you're doing our welcome and purpose this morning. Thank you for that. Okay, let's go with 281-528. Good morning, 281-528. All right, perhaps they'll come back in a moment.
781-281-528.
Yes.
I'm here. This is Sister Lewis.
Sister Lewis, thank you for joining us. Sister Lewis, in your participation this morning, what is your participation this morning?
Pardon?
What you're participating on the program in what area?
I may give a prayer or a testimony.
Okay, all right, testimony, prayer, okay. Thank you so very much, and welcome.
Welcome.
Mr. Lewis. All right, 347-479, good morning. 347-479, all right, we'll come back to that one. Let's go with 617-216.
Hi, it's Rose Novia, the speaker.
Oh, Sister Rose. Is that Sister Rose?
Yes, it is.
Sister Rose Thomas. Okay. Thank you and the speaker for the hour. Thank you for joining us this morning so early, and thank you for your acceptance to do the word for us today. Thank you so very much. And let's go to 561, 561, 577.
Ms. Charlotte Henry.
Okay,
I'm doing prayer and
no
prayer. I'm doing,
you're doing prayer and what?
No, sir. I'm doing scripture and testimony, sorry.
Okay, thank you for joining us this morning. All right, if you're participating, if you're scheduled to participate, we're going to ask that you please be so kind to press 1 at this time if you're scheduled to participate. All right, let's go to 561-676. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Walker. This is Antoinette.
Okay.
And I will be speaking on the tactics of the enemy to rob us of our blessings.
Okay, thank you so kindly for being with us this internet. All right, let's go to 404-471. I'm sorry, 404-771. Out of Atlanta, perhaps. All right, perhaps they're just listening there. All right, Sister Wolberg, if you'll go ahead and give us the welcome and the purpose.
Sure. Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. This is Sister Rochelle Wolberg. Welcome to the Divine International Divine Intervention Day of Prayer, and my welcome is focused on a simple question: how do we know that God loves us? And I've got a very short welcome. It's such a fundamental question that how do we possibly answer that? So if you'll allow me to, I'm going to answer it just by focusing on this concept of God's blueprint for life and for reality. And, you know, what goes through our minds when we hear the word law? For us as Christians, and I think doubtless we probably first think about the rules that govern our society, like the laws against, you know, theft or going over the speed limit, and maybe you even think about the Ten Commandments. And, you know, while the dictionary has many definitions of the word law, there are two main categories. There's imposed law and there's design law. And imposed law are rules that require enforcement, so like a law against, you know, murder, whereas design law are principles upon which our reality is constructed. So God, as the source of all creation, created space, time, matter, energy. These laws form the very foundation of our reality. They cannot be changed without destroying life as we know it. And as human beings, as finite creatures, we cannot create design laws. So instead, we create imposed laws, which are arbitrary, and we enforce them primarily through the, you know, infliction of punishments, of regulations for violation. And so when we think about design laws, the unchangeable laws, I'm thinking about, you know, the law of gravity, right? The law of physics, the laws of health, the law of love, also known as the law of giving. We see that. I work in a botanical garden in the natural ecosystems that we have, the law of liberty, of freedom, the law of worship. You know, when we think of the commandments, we have to remember that the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians, in the New Testament book of Galatians, if you're not familiar with it, the law, the Ten Commandments were added as both a diagnostic tool and a hedge for the sick and for the immature. And God's law of love, that design law, which is unchangeable, the moral principles upon which life is constructive, are principles upon which the Ten Commandments are based. And this is why the greatest law is to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, and the law of, and your neighbor, excuse me, as yourself. So this law of love originates in God himself, for God is love, and God created his universe to operate upon the law of love. And I want to read something from W.W. Prescott very shortly. It's the Savior of the World. And I'm referencing this from a Sabbath school study that Tim Jennings did through Come and Reason Ministries. And it says, W.W. Prescott writes, "When I become confused over the apparent chaos in world affairs," I'm sure we can all relate to this, "and am perplexed over some of my own trying experiences, and a suggestion of doubt about the love of God arises in my mind, I find an antidote for such a poisonous atmosphere by thinking of Jesus and Calvary. God does love us, brethren. His thoughts toward us are thoughts of peace," Jeremiah 29:11. Do you realize how, you know, the view, you know, that God is arbitrary, that his laws are imposed, has distorted and obstructed the faith of billions of Christians, you know, who believe that God is against us, that he's a severe judge waiting to punish sinners, a being who needs his son to pay a penalty, to offer his blood as a payment so that he will not kill us. You know, and yet, you know, we turn around and we say, well, God is love, you know, while yet teaching this. And it creates a conflict in the minds of many that don't make sense, doesn't make sense. And it damages human reasoning and causes some people to lose the ability to discern and makes them more vulnerable to the enemy and to authority. So God has given us, W.W. Prescott writes, full proof of his love. What more could he do for us that he has not done? Isaiah 5:4, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son as a substitute, but delivered him for us all, how shall he not also with his son freely give us all things?" That's Romans 8:31-32. "So away with our doubts and fear. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee," Isaiah 26:3. "And O Jehovah, thou art my God, I will exalt thee and I will praise thy name," Isaiah 25:1. You know, the Sabbath School Quarterly for Seventh-day Adventists this quarter is about the idea, the concept of the covenant, God's everlasting covenant of an agreement that was to give us as finite beings stability and security. And it, God initiated that relationship, you know, the condescension of a divine being, the creator of the universe, to come to us and say, this is how I will behave in regard to you. These are the limitations I put on myself because I have created this everlasting agreement so that our relationship is stable. So in considering the wondrous love of God as revealed to us in redeeming us from sin and its dreadful consequences, it may throw light upon the whole, you know, this idea of manifested grace. But, you know, the answer is absolutely, God does love us. We see it in the design laws that are all around, in the laws of nature, you know, this that everything has to give in order to survive. God is the originator of life. And we certainly see it if we just reflect upon Jesus and upon Calvary. So welcome to the International Divine Intervention Day. And let us be happy that we have a God and a Savior who loves us.
Amen. Thank you so much for that, Sister Wilberg. God's design laws that cannot be changed, for that lesson that was very interesting, his love, his the physics, the liberty, and all those other that you mentioned. In keeping with our program this morning, we're going to go ahead and just do our housekeeping and get with the people who are participating this morning. Ms. Evans, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Ms. Evans. Okay, thank you. You'll be coming up next for opening song. 508-217, who do we have with us, and welcome? 508-217.
Yes, this is Brother Stephen Thomas.
Brother Peter Thomas?
Stephen Thomas.
Oh, Brother Peter.
Peter sounds good, too, but it's Stephen Thomas.
Yes, sir. And Brother Thomas, you're one of our prayer warriors, is that right?
That is correct, my brother. Happy Sabbath.
Okay. Happy Sabbath. Thank you so very much for joining us. All right. Let's go with 718-749. It would help if I let them in. 718-749.
Good morning. Hi, this is Sister DeNova.
Sister DeNova, thank you for joining us this morning. Sister DeNova, you're doing our opening prayer. Is that correct? And special music?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so very much. Okay, Sister LeBron, do you want to go ahead and bring on Sister Evans with a slight intro? Let me go ahead. Sister Evans, we're ready for your opening song.
Sister Evans
has
a special. I'm sorry, I was on mute.
No problem.
Okay, Sister Evans, go ahead. We have a special song coming from Sister Evans. I just want you to just listen, sit back, and let her edify you as she sings. She brings this special music to us. Sister Evans.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. Happy Sabbath.
Sabbath.
And as I, this song is an old song. I'm not quite sure if anyone in this land is old enough to remember this song. But it's a song about the pearly white city.
Ooh.
And that's a place that I know we all want to be, that pearly white city. And I will sing for you this morning, and forgive my voice, but listen to the words. There's a holy and beautiful city whose builder and ruler is God. John saw it descending from heaven when Patmos in exile he trod. Its high massive wall is of jasper, the city itself is pure gold. And when our frail tent here is frozen, our eyes shall its beauty behold. In that bright city, pearly white city, we have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now we are watching, waiting, and longing for that white city John saw coming down. No sin is allowed in that city,
and nothing defiling for me. No pain and no sickness can enter, no creep in that city is seen. Hurt, sorrow, and cares are forgotten.
Hallelujah.
No tempted is there to annoy.
Brethren,
in that bright city,
yes, Lord,
pearly white city, we have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now we are watching, waiting, and longing for that white city. John saw coming down.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much, Sister Evans, for that great number in that great city. I just can't wait to go home. I can't wait to see that great city. That reminds me, you know, that should, you know, set our eyes on the prize and just keep focused that one day we will see Jesus in that great city. At this time, we're going to the throne. We are going to the throne with prayer. And we're going to have our opening prayer with Sister DeNova. Sister DeNova, are you on the line?
Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Heavenly Father, what an awesome God you are. You are here to separate us from the poison that will eternally separate us from you. That poison is sin. And oh, how we drink of it. We drink of it freely, Father God. We think that it's the best thing in the world, but Father, teach us how to separate ourselves from the poison of selfishness and fear that cause us to do all type of manner of things against you, against your heavenly kingdom and your principles, against those around us. My prayer, Father, is that what we have just heard from Sister Rochelle will not fall upon deaf ears, but will reach our hearts and our minds, that we may understand God does not desire that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance, a repentance from what we think is right, a repentance from our viewpoint, a repentance from the ways of the world which only create entanglement in useless, harmful, hurtful behaviors. Father, we ask Jesus, reach our hearts today. Help us understand you have left no one out of the kingdom. It is our choice whether we choose to walk with you or walk away. But give us freedom, we pray, Father, from the tyranny of the lies of the enemy who want to distract us from the love of Jesus Christ, we pray. In your name, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. That lovely prayer, Sister DeNova. At this time, we're going to go into the Word. We're going to go into the Word. So please take out your Word, the Bible. And Sister Charlotte will bring us our scripture reading.
Good morning, everyone. Let us pray. Father, as we open up your Word this morning, please let your Holy Spirit speak to us, so that we will not do this in vain, that we will be convicted, converted, and encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This morning, the scripture comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and I will be moving about in Romans, just about three more scriptures. The Bible says, the question is, how do we know God loves us? How do I know God loves me? How do you know God loves you? There is therefore, verse 1, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then we have verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yes, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So far, the word of God is letting us know that man can't condemn us. We can't condemn each other. It is God. It is Christ who condemns. It is Christ who says, you're going to be lost. You're going to hell. It is not man who would do that. We don't live as unto man. We live as unto God. And the Bible says that if we are carnally minded, we're dying. That's death. Spiritually minded, carnally minded means that we are walking in our own ways, making our own decisions, not praying before we do something. And in the end, there's death. There may be frustration, and that's death. How is that death? Because when you're frustrated, you're losing little mind cells of your brain, right? You're destroying your brain because of the anger, the frustration that is there. Your body is going weighing down now because you are feeling frustrated. You're dying. You're causing your body to die even more. So the effects of that anger, the effects of it is death. So when you are walking in a carnal nature, you're not walking after God. You're walking after your own lust, your own belief system. But if you walk spiritually, as verse 6 says, spiritually minded is life and peace. There is peace there. When you know that you prayed for something and you wait for God to answer it, you know that you are moving in that. And I have to say that is I've experienced that, walking in carnal, the carnal nature versus walking in the spirit. And last, I would like to leave us with this encouragement, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And it goes on to say in verse 37, no, none of these things, none of the nakedness, the peril, the sword, and we could say the gun, persecution or famine, none of these things. But verse 37 says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. How are we more? Because Christ is with us. Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, with those three with us, we are more than conquerors. For I am persuaded, verse 38, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we go about today and the rest of our lives, we can be rest assured that God loves us so much that he even protects us by saying nobody can condemn us. He's there for us. He'll never leave us and never forsake us. We're not separated from him for no reason. Nothing can come between us and God unless we allow those things to do that, and that we are more than conquerors. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so very much for that, Sister Henry. At this time, we just got to do a little bit more housekeeping. There are some participants. We don't want to overlook anyone. If you're 347-749, who do we have with us? 347-749. All right, perhaps you're just listening in. We don't want to overlook anyone. Let's go to 404-771. Who do we have? All right, 404-771. All right, perhaps you're
it's
also
Martine
just...
Martine Charles. Listening. Hello?
Okay. All Hello. Right, so, yeah, good morning. Can you hear us? Okay, and what is your participation, Sister Charles? We have you as one of our prayer warriors, is that right? Sister Charles, we're not able to hear you. Sister Charles?
Maybe
Hello?
She's muted.
Hello?
Sister Charles, are you there?
I am.
Okay, we're not, something's going on with your phone, I'm sorry, but you go in and out. You're one of our prayer warriors, is that right? All right, we're not able to hear Sister Charles. If you can get back in with us, Sister Charles, we would greatly appreciate that. Let's move on to 754-252. Who do we have with us, and welcome?
Hi, this is Sisters in Song, and we're singing the Song of Meditation.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. At this time, our time is vastly going, and we always want to give the speaker enough time to present the message, which is usually no more than 20 minutes. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and bring on Sister Antoinette, who's going to give us a lesson on about the enemy. And I'm going to ask if you all would be so kind, if you're not on program at this particular moment, if you would be so kind to mute your phones, because it picks up every sound here that you make, even if you're breathing, it picks that up as well. So if you'd be so kind, if you're not participating at that time, because it will distract the person who's participating at that time, and we don't want the prayers or those individuals who are participating, we don't want them to be lose their train of thought. If you'd be so kind, if you're not on at this moment, if you'd be so kind to mute your phone, thank you so very much. Sister Antoinette.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the International Divine Day of Prayer. And my name is Antoinette, as Brother Walker said, and I have been speaking a few minutes each time that we gather regarding the tactics that the enemy uses to rob us, to deceive us, to cause us to lose our blessings. The first week I had spoke about fear, how he likes to instill fear. And as Sister, Sister Rochelle said, you know, when you look up the meaning of words, sometimes you can truly get a better understanding of opposition. And I had spoke about the word tactic, meaning an action or strategy that is carefully planned to achieve a specific end. It's the art of disposing armed forces in order of battle and organizing. And we spoke about the importance of putting on the armor of God that God reminds us of in Ephesians 6. And so we know that we're in a war. We know that it's a spiritual war. We cannot see the forces that we are fighting against, but they are high powers in high places, and there's wickedness and evil. So Satan, who was the fallen angel, who was one of God's most gifted angels, who had rebelled and was cast out of heaven, as we all know, he's here on this earth, and he has a job and a mission, and the mission's to, one, make us believe that God does not love us, as Rochelle so beautifully reminded us this morning, that the law, the very law of God itself reminds us, the fact that he would even pay the penalty himself so that he could redeem us, because he cannot go against himself. So we know that the enemies come to first cause us to be fearful. And I spoke about that, he instills fear, and I spoke about the ways. This week I want to talk a little bit about the fact that he's a liar, and he's called the father of lies in the scripture, and he lies to us. And one of the first things that he tells us is God does not love us. And he does that by reminding us of all the suffering and all the hardship and, you know, all the differences that we have to face. And sometimes people are born into horrific situations. And so he wants to cause us to believe that God does not love us. So that was such a wonderful reminder, Sister Rochelle. I thank you for that. And it just really segues right into what I wanted to share with you about Satan being the father of lies. So he comes to us, and it says in John 8, I'm reading straight from the scriptures, 8:44, that he's a liar and the father of lies. So one of the strategies, as I said, is to lie. And, you know, it could also cause us to be to feel discouraged, or he inflicts negative thoughts, because he does have power on this earth. It's limited, but remember, God gave him, he cast him to the earth, and he does have power, and he's going to test God's people, just as he did Job. And many of you are familiar with that story. So he wants to discourage us when we go through hardships or tragedies. So sometimes it's hard to recognize, you know, the enemy's lies, because they sound so true. He twists the scriptures, and I'm reminded of the first lie that he told Eve. Remember the first lie in the Garden of Eden? And he told Eve, you know, that she could eat from that tree that God commanded Adam not to eat from. He deceived her. He told her that if she ate that, God did not want her to eat it because she would be powerful, just as powerful as God. And, you know, in this world today, the whole New Age movement teaches that. It's even crept into the church that we are little gods. That is such a lie from the pit of hell. So the serpent, he's called the devil, the father of lies, told Eve that. But remember, it wasn't Eve that that God gave the command to. It was Adam. So he does the same thing with us. Sometimes lies will come through other people. So we have to be very, very careful to be able to know the source and the information from where it comes. So God tells us that we should be wise, that we should be discerning. And there's a reason for that. The devil is cunning. You know, he comes as an angel of light trying to counterfeit the Lord Jesus Christ. We know he's going to come again in the last days. So we need to be mindful that the enemy knows our insecurities, and because he knows our insecurities, he knows just how to lie to us. And each one of us have different insecurities. In John 10:10, it says that he can get us to think wrong, you know, wrong believing, wrong speaking, wrong acting. These are the doors that open us up to the evil one. He tempts us to lie when we do something wrong and we're afraid. We're afraid to, whether it be when we were young, to tell our parents or to tell our employer or our spouses, you know. And God himself, he tells us that God doesn't care, that God doesn't want to hear us, that we have failed, that he, you know, we cannot approach him, you know. And so that's a lie from the pit of hell. You know, we have to know what God's word teaches us, and that's the only way that we can defeat the enemy, is to know the word of God, because there is nothing in heaven or earth that we need that is not in the word. God has given us everything that we need to equip us for life. So when he comes to deceive us, he comes to entice us, and he's doing that even in the Church of Jesus Christ today. People are becoming pleasure seekers. Instead of seeking God and truth, we seek things that our itchy ears want to hear. We tend to want to, you know, just walk close enough to the water that we won't fall in. But, you know, we want to dip our toe, you know, and we want to be able to experience a little bit of pleasure. And, you know, I once heard it said, I don't know who said, but, you know, the devil will tempt us and cause us to sin. And he will take us deeper than we ever wanted to go and keep us there longer than we ever intended to stay. And he gets us in bondage that way. He lies to us about our friends and our families. He causes this division and dissension. So, you know, I just know that for me, I just have become such a lover of God's word. It's such a blessing to know it, because if we know the truth, we can always counteract and defeat the enemy's lies. Because remember, he comes just as he tempted Jesus. You know, after, you know, the victory, he came with a lie, and he told him to, he tempted him to give him the whole earth. I'll give you it all, I'm paraphrasing. I'll give you everything, you know, if you just bow to me. He so desires to receive what's due to God that he tempted even Jesus himself, who was God in the flesh, and told him that, you know, throw yourself from here. Didn't God say that he would send his angels, you know, to catch us? So you see how he takes and twists the word of God, and Jesus always responded with, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, and how, you know, we should not test and we should not tempt God. So these are the ways that he plays with our mind. He's a liar. He's always been a liar. He will always be a liar. He's going to try to deceive us in the last days. So I encourage you all, we talked a little bit about how we can discern the counterfeit, because if you know the real thing, you will always be able to discern the counterfeit. There will always be new counterfeits. He's cunning. He's very deceiving. He will always come up with new ways. But when we know our God, when we know his heart, when we know his thoughts, and he's given us what he's never given any other generation, the Holy Scriptures written in black and white that we have to read and to store in our hearts, so that we would be able to know that when the enemy comes and tells us we're not good enough, he doesn't love you. He makes us think our spouses are not loving us. He makes us think our children don't love us, you know. And so, you know, if you know that God loves you, and the first commandment is to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and to love others as yourself, that's our greatest weapon to defeat the enemy. First and foremost is to know the love of God and to know that he is a liar, the father of lies, who's come to kill, steal, and destroy. So, brethren, do not let him rob you. Do not let him deceive you. Do not believe the lie, the first lie, that God does not care and that God does not want us to know. God wants us to know everything. That is why he's given us the scriptures. That is why he's given us the Holy Spirit, so that we would be able to live lives that are abundant, that are fruitful, that glorify him, that are pleasurable, and most importantly, that we'll be able to live with him for all eternity. So I hope that you're encouraged this morning to know that that you have victory over him. He cannot rob us of God's blessings. We are the only one that can give him access to our life. So remember, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus said he's come to give life, and life more abundantly. The joy, the peace that Jesus gives us, the enemy cannot take away unless we choose to believe his lies. So brethren, believe the truth of the scriptures. It's been tried, tested, and proven triumphant. God loves you. I love you, we love you, and be blessed this morning as we enter into a time of worship, praise, and spiritual warfare as we pray for the needs of everyone this morning. So remember, when you're tempted, that God does not tempt you, James 1:13 says. God cannot tempt by evil. It is an evil one that tempts us, and God has given us a way of escape to resist the lies of the devil, to cling to the word of God, and to stay connected to our lifeline. And the umbilical cord to that lifeline is prayer. God bless you all.
Thank you, Sister Antoinette. Thank you for that word. Because you know what? The Bible let us know that the devil will try to even deceive even the very elect, if he would. You know, so we're living in that time that we're close to Jesus to come. So let us be remain faithful so that the enemies cannot deceive us with these lies. Let us remain faithful. At this time, we're going to continue with some more housekeeping. We're going to ask Sister Martine. Charles, are you there? Martine Charles, 404-771-1711. Martine Charles? Are you there, Martine Charles? Okay. All right, we're going to go on to, we have another number that's here. We have 347-479-3074.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. This is Barbara Brazil.
Okay, good morning, Barbara. What will you be doing this morning?
You asked me to do prayer.
Okay. You'll be prayer warrior. Hey, hang on. You're going to be prayer warrior number one. All right? But before you do that, Barbara, we're going to have a special music by Sister DeNova. Sister DeNova, you're going to come to us for a special music, and we're going to have a special testimony by Charlotte Henry. And then, Barbara, you will bring us our prayer. So, Sister DeNova, are you there?
Good morning, everyone. I am here and welcome. I want to encourage everyone this morning. This song is dedicated to those who have to go through many difficult trials here on this earth because we have an adversary. I want to encourage you, do not look around you. Do not look at what other people are doing. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Be aware that you are precious in God's sight. And I want to say this. We are at a time where everything that will be shaken, that must be shaken, will be shaken. But stay in the hands of Jesus Christ. The song is called Momentary Light Affliction. Momentary light affliction, darkening the doorway of my life. Momentary light affliction, darkening the doorway of my life. But joy comes in the morning, joy comes in the morning, joy comes in the morning, in the morning, joy comes in the morning, joy comes in the morning, joy comes in the morning sun. Those who sow in tears, they shall reap with joy. Those who sow in tears, they shall reap with joy. Those who sow in tears, they shall reap with joy. Those who sow in tears, they shall reap with joy. 'Cause joy comes in the morning, joy comes in the morning, joy comes in the morning, in the morning, joy comes in the morning, joy comes in the morning, joy comes in the morning sun. My admonishment to you today is, do not cease in well-doing. Do not be weary in well-doing, for it will produce a harvest for you. And don't forget, tell others that the Sabbath is the holy Sabbath is a day of rest, and that Jesus is coming soon. May God bless you.
Praise God.
Yes, yes. Thank you. That was a special, that was a wonderful, wonderful music. Sister DeNova, at this time we will have a testimony by Sister Charlotte Henry. Sister Charlotte.
Good morning, everyone. I have a quick testimony of how, if you allow God to use you, he will. I've been talking to a coworker of mine, and just talking to her about, she's been telling me about Donald Trump and all this thing against him, and she's for Trump. And she's been talking about, you know, the conspiracies and vaccines and different things. And I've had a chance to talk to her about the Lord also. And she's just fishing, wanting, it seems, more truth. Because she knows, she said that she knows that something is about to happen. There's a third world that's coming and all this, and all these different things. And though she doesn't have it all right, she still, you know, is open to me, my telling her some things. So anyway, I've been asking God to give me a way to reach her. And this man, this pastor, Dr. O, he comes on. He has an evangelistic crusade going on right now where he preaches and he breaks down the word of God with the prophecies and talking about the mark of the beast and how to identify that and what 666 and all of that. So I decided to just send her a link, and I encouraged her to come on. And he comes on every night, and what he does is so well done. He reviews that the night what he did the night before. So you keep abreast of what the symbols mean, you know, the woman, what the woman represent, and all this stuff in Revelation. So anyway, I gave it to her, and I encouraged her to come on, and she did come on. She heard it and so forth, and then. 2 days later, I went to her room for us to have lunch together, and we went outside and we were sitting there. And then another teacher came out, and she sat down with us too. And this teacher, who I gave the link to, her name is Amy, she told the other teacher, she said, "Do you know you're worshiping on the wrong day? You know, Sunday is not the day, you know. The Sabbath is Saturday." And she said, "We've been following a lie." So she's Catholic, and the other lady is Catholic. And she said, "We've been found in line. Do you know that the Pope is trying to be president of the world? And we can't follow after him because all the world's going to follow after him, and that's wrong. We should follow Christ." And she was just going on. And I was convicted because I was like, wow, Lord, this is what I should be doing. I should be telling the message. And here it is. I invited her that one time, and then now she's gone with it. She's just telling people. And I was like, praise the Lord, because the truth is going to come out. And I just thank God for the many ways we have to witness to people, and how God is not leaving us to do it by ourselves, but the Holy Spirit is there to give us even the thought of sending somebody a link, even the thought of sending somebody the link of Amazing Facts, Doug Batchelor and Ivor Myers and different ones that we can learn from and they can learn from too. So I just want to give God thanks, because that's my testimony of how if I don't know what I'm doing as far as witnessing, but God always, through his Holy Spirit, gives me a way to do it, and not only for me to be benefited, but for others who don't know all the truth, and I don't know all of it either, but who don't know truth of the Word of God, and God allows me to experience that and help them to know more of God. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you for that testimony. That was a powerful testimony, Sister Charlotte, because a lot of times it's like, you know, we're at a place where we can witness. And, you know, just pray and ask the Holy Spirit, you know, put words in our mouth for what to say. But thank you so much that you're able to tell her, and she's telling someone else. So that's what we should be doing right now. We're living that time. It's crucial right now. So at this time, we're going to go to the throne of grace. We're going to ask Sister Brazil to, as a prayer warrior, to pray. And Sister Brazil, I'm going to ask that if you can have a pen and pencil ready. I'm going to ask if anyone on this line that has a special prayer request, you can unmute right now and to let Sister Brazil know what is it that you would like for Sister Brazil to intervene for you on your behalf. You can unmute now and just tell her your prayer request.
I'm asking Sister Brazil that you remember the teacher, the two teachers especially, and Amy and her mom, Amy's mother, Agnes. She's 82 years old, but she's suffering right now, lung problems and so forth. And I'm asking for prayer for those families.
Okay. Are there any other prayer requests?
Good morning. This is Sister DeNova. I have a prayer request. I'm asking for prayer that the Lord would bless the ministry that he has in my hand, and the ministry is called Because He Cares. Why? Because the Lord is the one who wants to share all this goodness. It's not me. And also I'm praying that my financial situation would turn around. I'm in God's hands. But let me tell you something. The enemy is fighting me so hard. I have not received a single penny of government from the beginning of the pandemic. Not one cent.
Wow.
and I am below the poverty line. But my God has made sure that I do not suffer nor have been in lack or want of anything. I have an amazing God, and he knows what he's doing. But let me tell you, testing time is here, and I'm praying also for a country living space that I may commune with my God, because I'm not afraid to go through what he wants me to go through. Okay, yes, there's moments of fear, but I have dedicated myself to God. I've dedicated myself to be where he wants me to be, but we're told to go into the country so that our minds can get right with God and we can be prepared to meet him. So I'm praying first for the ministry to prosper, because that's the name of our God, to be vindicated. Secondly, I'm praying for my monetary situation. And third, I'm praying for my country living space. Thank you.
I have an unspoken Amen. Prayer request.
And your name, please?
Martine.
Martine?
Yes.
Okay,
oh,
thank
the
you.
One before is Sister Genova, D-E-N-O-V-A. Sorry, Sister Martine.
Okay, thank you, Sister Genova.
Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. This is Sister Lewis. And I would like special prayer for my son. He is moving from where he's living, and he's going to reside in Georgia. And he
What is your son's name?
Andre.
Andre?
Andre, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ask for journeying mercy and to get him a car that is reliable to take him there, and to find a country house.
Okay.
All right, we can go to prayer now. Thank you.
Good morning, Father. We bow before your presence, Lord. What a thankful heart that you've allowed us to make it through another Sabbath. We gratefully, our loving Father, for past night's rest, O Lord, that we know, Lord, while we sleep, the enemy is fighting for our lives. But, Lord, you have won the victory again and again, and we say, praise the name of the Most High. Father, we're grateful, Lord, that we can come aside and rest a while from our cares and troubles of this world, dear loving Father, to seek you. You have said when we seek you early in the morning, we will find you. And, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, dear loving Father, you will continue to be with all the prayer requests. First of all, Lord, we want to thank you, dear loving Father, for life spared. Lord, this week when I was traveling, dear loving Father, visiting Pastor Humphrey, Lord, there was someone that almost sideswiped me, but I was thankful, Lord, that I always pray. And Psalm 91 protected me from the wiles of the enemy. Father, we know, dear loving Father, you will not allow us to leave this earth until our work is done. And we pray, God, we will continue to be in your will. Father, this time, Lord, we will cancel and abolish any plans the enemy may have in our life. We plead the blood of Jesus upon the doorposts of our homes and our heart. Lord, this morning I lift up before you Amy and Agnes, dear loving Father. We pray, God, you will be with her in a lung problem. Father, you are the master physician who has never lost a case. And we place Agnes into your hands, dear loving Father. Touch her in the name of Jesus and heal her body. Father, this morning we also want to lift up Sister Genova, dear loving Father. We pray, God, you will bless her financially, dear loving Father. Bless her ministry. Father, you own the cattle upon a thousand hills. You said all the earth is yours and everything belongs to you. Father, you have said we have not because we ask not. We ask in the name of Jesus, dear loving Father, to turn a situation around, Lord, so that your name can be glorified. Father, we lift up Martine this morning, Lord, with an unspoken prayer request. Father, we pray, God, you will acknowledge it according to your riches and glory. And then we lift up Sister Lois before you, Lord, for her son Andre. Father, we pray, God, that you already have a car picked up for him. We're claiming it by faith. Father, we pray, God, also for a country home for him. Father, nothing is too hard for you. Father, we want to pray in a special way, Lord, for everyone who's on this prayer line, dear loving Father, and the families. Each one of us, Lord, comes with different needs, but you have said you will supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And for this we say, praise the name of the Most High. Father, we've gone to lift the Principal Walker this time, their loving father and his family. Lord, continue to bless him, Lord. Continue to strengthen him as he leads us from week to week. Father, we pray for fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit to find him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Father, we lift the Principal LeBron, O Lord, and her family at this time. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, their loving father. You will continue to bless her, continue to strengthen her, Lord. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, the Lord, as the son will be transitioning to another school. Lord, continue to bless me. Continue to strengthen him. Help him to look to you, Lord, because you are the source of all his strength. Father, we pray for all our young people, Lord. Father, they're struggling, Lord. They're straying away from you. But, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, you will turn their hearts back unto righteousness. You have said, if your people who are called by your name will seek your face and humble themselves and pray and turn from the wicked ways, then you will hear from heaven. You will forgive their sins and you will heal their land. Father, the land needs healing and the soul needs cleansing. Create in us, O God, a clean heart and renew the right spirit within us. As we go throughout this day, keep us, O God, so we cannot keep ourselves. And all that we fail to ask of you, fail not to grant it unto us. This is our prayer with thanksgiving in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Thank you so very much for that. We certainly do appreciate your contribution this morning with that prayer. At this time, our time is vastly escaping us. We're going to do just some brief housekeeping. 804-364 is the caller there. Good morning. 804-364. If you're participating, are you participating this morning on program?
Yes, please. Can you hear me?
Yes. What's your name?
Oh, yes, Sister Annie. I was wanting, asking prayer for my family that we will draw closer to the Lord. But my two adult children, they won't keep the Sabbath, and they act like they don't understand when I be telling them about different things about the end time prophecies, and I just want God to help them to come back into the fold. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Sister.
Their names are Sandra and Ira.
Okay, and Ira. Okay. Now, that will be with our next prayer warrior. Thank you so much. Our time is vastly escaping. So at this time, we're going to bring in Sister Lewis with another brief testimony, with a brief testimony. Sister Lewis, if you'd be so kind, are you there?
Here.
Sister, okay, if you want to go ahead and if you'd be so kind to give your brief testimony. Thank you so kindly.
All right. Thank you so much. Praise be to God. We praise the name of the Lord this morning. His name is worthy to be praised. Our God is faithful. He's a faithful God. I'm giving this testimony this morning because I want all of us as mothers and fathers to know and to remember that Jesus promised to save our children in Isaiah 49, verse 26. He said, He, God, will save our children. And so we need not to worry and to fret about our children, but to leave them in the hands of God. Some years ago, I have three children, my husband and I, three children. My oldest son, Andre, he turned about 20, and he thought, well, it's time to leave the house. And he got a job working as a radiology tech in the Methodist Hospital here in Houston, and he was doing very well. And so he decided to leave, and when he left, you know, we took him in the little U-Haul to where he was going to live at this apartment, and I tried to tell him not to leave, but he thought he was big enough, you know, and so he left, and I said, why do you leave and go so far? I can't even drive here because it's so far anyhow. He said, oh, Mom, that's all right. You'll find me. So I cried to lose him. And so
Apparently, he wanted to go, leave far from me, so he won't. I won't know what he's doing. And he was going to church, so he left and he went to another church further away from us. And so when I asked him, I said, what did the preacher preach today? He would, you know, tell me, and then one time he couldn't tell me. And so I said, oh, you're not going to church. So he opened up. He said, no, Mom, I'm not going to church. And I was so sadly disappointed because we raised them up, have morning and evening devotion, and send them to church, school, and, you know, did our best as God helped us. But he strayed away. And so then he decided to come back into Houston. He bought a house, and he still wasn't coming back to church. And so every Sabbath, I would call him and say, hello, what are you doing? And sometimes he would say, oh, I'm at Home Depot, or I'm mowing my grass, and I would cry. He wouldn't know, but the Lord saw my heart. And so I started praying harder for him. And so the Lord said to me one day, you are praying, yes, but you need to make some sacrifice. What are you going to give up in order for, you know, things to happen? And you need to pray more. And I heard the voice said, get up early in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and start praying for your child. And I said, 4 a.m., Lord. At that time, I used to work 7 p to 7 a or whatever. But I said, you know, I'm going to do that. So I called a friend of mine. I said, girl, do you want us to get up in the morning, 4 o'clock, to pray? She said, oh, yes, girl, yes, because she had a son who strayed away too. So we started praying. And for 15 years, we prayed together every 4 o'clock in the morning. And we, you know, bring up our children to God. And so nothing happened. And I said, oh, God, have mercy. And so one day, about 2015, we took some students up to the university up there in Michigan. And we had a trip from the church, you know, to visit Sister White's estate and whatever. And so one morning while I was lying there, I was on the prayer line, another prayer line, and I saw a text came in and said, Mom, he didn't say Mom, he said, what is the number for the prayer line? And I said, who is this? Anyhow, I didn't know who it was, so I sent the number, but I sent one number wrong, and the person texted back and said, Mom, you gave me the wrong number. And I said, Andre, what are you doing up at this time asking for the prayer line? Are you okay? He said, yes, Mom. I said, are you suicidal? He said, no, Ma'am. I said, so why are you asking for the prayer line? You know, when you ask God for things, he comes in a mysterious way. You so confuse yourself, you know. And he said, no, Ma'am, I just want the prayer line. I said, Andre, you need the prayer line? Tell me what's going on. And he started telling me, he said, Mom, the Lord is speaking to me to give my life back to Jesus. And so I went to church yesterday, and I said, you went to church? He said, yes, Mom. And so, you know, after that, he told me all about going to church, and the evening he wanted to go back because they're accustomed of going back to Vespers and AY and all that. And when he went into the churchyard, and the whole wicked spirit say, no, you can't. You need to go to the movies. That's not where you're supposed to be. And so he drove out, and maybe he came back because the Holy Ghost hold him. You know when the Holy Ghost hold you? Hallelujah, you cannot get away. So I'll make it short, my brothers and sisters. Anyhow, when he used to come to my house to visit me, he could only stay a few minutes, and I said, why are you going? And then when he gave his life to Jesus, he stood in the middle of the house one day and he said, Mom, I feel comfortable here now. And he said, I know why, because your light cannot mix with darkness. And so because I was in darkness, I couldn't come here and stay. I couldn't stay here because it was, when I come, I see light, and I know I was in darkness. And so
amen.
That is what, but now God brought him back, and praise God. The first thing he said when he came back to Jesus, because I always pray, I said, Father, bring back my son into the ship of safety. But not only into the church, but bring him back to you, because I know we can be in the church and we are lost. So I want you, God, to bring him back to you. And so when he came, he was on fire. We got tracks, we bought tapes, we bought everything, books. And he started doing colporting. And he said, Mom, I want you to come with me. And so we'll go in my subdivision first, because he had sold his house or was selling it. He said, I'm going to the country. I'm giving up everything and going into medical missionary. And so we went around in his subdivision. And I remember when we went to his house across the street, he went over and he started talking to the gentleman. I did already, because I was on that side of the street giving out tracts.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Mom, I must give out something to this gentleman, because I was here. And so he went over, and I was kind of tired, because we were in the subdivision all morning. And so I was underneath his house, you know, underneath there, getting some shade. And I heard when he said to the gentleman, his neighbor, he said, Sir, can I pray with you? And I had to cry out. I said, Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Sister Lewis, we certainly do appreciate that testimony that he's given his life back. Unfortunately, we're running out of time now,
yes.
And so, but we thank you for that testimony. Thank you so very much.
Yes.
Principal LeBron, go ahead.
Yes, yes, thank you so much for that testimony. All right, at this time, we are going back to the throne of God. We're going to ask Brother Stephen Thomas to pray. But Brother Thomas, as you pray, I want you to also to include Sister Annie for her family to be closer, and Sandra and Ira to keep the Sabbath. Okay? All right. And all right, and at this time, if anyone else have any prayer requests, just go ahead and unmute quickly, and Brother Thomas will take your prayer request at this time.
Pray for my two daughters, Andrine and Aisha. They have strayed away. And my two grand boys, Micah and Zion. Praise God that they will come. Let us have faith in God. Our children will come back to Jesus. Hallelujah.
All right, let's go ahead with prayer at this time, please. Brother Thomas.
Let us pray, brethren. O ever-loving and merciful Father, at this time we want to come to you, asking you to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. You have said in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we have some parents here that are praying for their young, their adult children to come back to you, their God. And we know that you can do anything, their God. You can bring them back, but we have to be consistent in our prayer life, so that you can do the work for them on their behalf as we intercede for them. We want to pray in a very special way right now for Anna that's asking for prayer for Sandra and Andrea. There's also someone that's asking for prayer for Veronica. And then we have Adrian and Michael and Zion, if I'm not pronouncing the name incorrectly. But God, you know each and every one of them by name and by nature. We pray that you just intercede in their lives, that you so come into their lives so that they can make different choices, different decisions, so that they would come back to you, dear God. We know that you've done so much, the extent that you've gone to, to save each and every one of us, but you're not willing that any one of us should be lost.
Huh.
I remember the psalmist David says, what is man that you are mindful of him? He's mindful of us because he loves us. He loves us so much that he's trying everything he possibly can, but he's also a man of his word. God is someone of his word because he cannot intrude in your life. You have to give him access. And those that are not that are not smart enough to know what God is doing for them, they have our parents, we have our uncles, aunts, and friends that intercede on our behalf so then God can go ahead and work in their lives. We're praying, dear God, that you would continue to be with each and every one of us. We're living in the last days of Earth's history, and this is the time that we need to cultivate and build and grow that relationship that we ought to have with you so that come what may, we may stand firm on your word. So we are asking, dear God, that you would imbue each and every one of us with your Holy Spirit so the lives that we live would be lives worthy of your favor, that the things that we say, the way we walk, the way we talk, would be exemplifying Christ in our lives so that when we come in contact with other folks that may not know of you, that they would see Christ shining through our lives and how we interact with them and how we talk and walk. Because the way we live our lives is the testimony that we can give back to you so that others would want to know what is different, what is so peculiar about this individual. I need to know what it is that this person stands up so firm and committed in what they believe. We pray, dear God, that you would continue to strengthen and fortify our faith, especially in these last days, so that we can make the right choices. We pray, dear God, that you would continue to be with us, that continue to strengthen us. And we pray for all of our young people, because this is definitely challenging time for each and every one of them, but help us as adults, as parents, to set the right example and tone for our young people to follow so that they can grow up in the love and fear of you. We must continue to be faithful. We must continue to pray, and we must continue to be those living testimonies for Christ. So by and by, when he comes and bursts through those clouds, we'd be ready to be caught up in those clouds to spend an eternity with him. All these things we ask in the precious name of Jesus. And what I fail to ask, dear God, I ask that you fail not to grant. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that stirring prayer, Brother Thomas. At this time, we're going to get a special testimony from our very own Dr. Walker. Dr. Walker?
Yes, good morning once again, everyone. Thank you so much for that. It'll be a very brief testimony. This week, for the first time, and I'm not saying this for boasting purposes. I'm just telling you all, I'm sharing this information with you all because a relationship with God is so important. It's so vital to our daily, as part of our daily bread. We had our show last night, and we were talking about food for the spirit and food for the soul. And it was based on the premise of the scripture, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It was a very, very, very good program last night. And something happened to me this week that's never happened to me before in all of my research. I decided that I needed to get back to God and feeding my spirit person, because I believe that we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And the battle is never really our battle. It's been God's battle. And so when we have that relationship with him, this past week I was able to get my Bible and let the Bible read to me through the iPad. And I was doing like 3 chapters a day and having my little praise and worship. I started out with some triplets that I didn't even know existed. I found them on YouTube, the Foster Triplets. And let me tell you, I was blessed by them singing this song 4 days late. And I tell you, if you all haven't heard it, go to YouTube, Google the Foster Triplets. And let me tell you, I was so blessed that it brought tears to my eyes every day this week. But developing that or reconnecting with God, my personal relationship with him, this week I did something for the first time that I've never done before in the history of my attending law school. I was able to get past 26 cases of reading. All throughout law school, I've never gotten past 3 cases a week, and they were required reading. This week, after connecting with God, or reconnecting, I should say, I was able to get through 26 cases and of reading, and it's like I couldn't believe it. Yesterday came, and it was down to 26. That's never happened. And it's like I'm not only reading these cases, I'm retaining the information. And I said, to God be the glory. So in closing with this thought, I just want you all to know, if you are struggling with anything, you may not even be aware that your spirit person is dying. You need to reconnect with God by his word, his word, his word, the logos, his word, and get back into him. And let me tell you, he will stretch the day for you. He will give you that boy that you're missing. That's my testimony. Get back, reconnect with him on a daily basis. Thank you so much for that, Ms. LeBron. Thank you so very much for that. And so now we're going to go ahead and bring in, Sister LeBron, go ahead. I believe you're bringing
Martine.
In Sister Charlotte. Sister Martine.
Yeah. At this time, we're going to bring in Sister Martine Charles, our next prayer warrior. Again, we're going to ask you, if you have any prayer requests, please unmute and let her know, and then she will continue. Sister Martine, are you there?
All right, we're not able to hear.
Anyone with a prayer request, go ahead and please unmute.
It's just Martin,
come on.
Off your finger.
All right, I don't think Sister Martine is there. Sister LeBron, you want to do the prayer read?
There she is.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. Go ahead. Amen.
Okay,
go ahead,
great.
Sister Martine.
Great. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, Lord, we come and we linger just a little bit longer at your throne, and we want to thank you first and foremost for the opportunity and the privilege to come to the Most High God in prayer, to come to you with our praise, to come to you with everything that's ailing us, to come to you with our familial situations, to come to you with our financial situations, to come to you with our spiritual situations, Lord. You are the God that sits high, that listens low, and you know every single thing that is going on in our lives, and we thank you for your omniscience. We thank you that you are the Almighty God, and we thank you that you are our God, and we are not following after a dead God, a fake God, or false God. No fake news here, Lord. You are the only true God, and we thank you for who you are. I ask that you please forgive us for our sins or anything that is in our hearts or minds that would separate us from you or separate my prayer from being heard, Lord. Lord, I lift every single member on this call, Lord, to your throne, Lord, and I ask that you please bless them in a special way. You know what every single person is struggling with. You know what their children are struggling with. You know what their family, their spouses. You know every single thing in their life, Lord, and it's not too much to ask for the God of the universe to touch each one of our lives. You said to come boldly before the throne of grace so that we can obtain mercy when we need it, Lord. So we are asking for you to touch our lives, Lord. We're asking for you to draw us closer to you in this very instance, in this very moment, Lord. We need you. We need your love. We need your presence. We cannot do it without you. We can't make one step, one decision without you. Help us to see our reliance on you. Lord, help us to see that we are totally dependent on you and that we cannot do it on our own and that we shouldn't even try.
Lord, you sent your son to not only to give his life for us, but for 33 years to show us how to be, show us how to act, to show us how to treat each other, to show us how to love, and we didn't get it, Lord. Lord, we thank you that he has returned to heaven and he is sitting on your left, on your right side, Lord, and we ask that he comes into our hearts right now to show us how to love, to show us how to be that Christian that you want us to be, to show us how to reach out to our neighbors, to show us how to finish this work that so desperately needs to be finished and completed before you can return, Lord. Lord, prepare our hearts and minds. Prepare us for eternity. Lord, if there's nothing in this world that's worth salvation, there's nothing in this worth this world that's worth eternity, that's worth missing out. Lord, help us to know that your love is eternal and your love is unconditional and that nothing that we can say or do will drive us from that love. Help us to never turn our backs from you, Lord. The devil is a liar, and he will try to make us believe that your love is not true, your love is not pure, but God is love. Help us to hold that on, hold that truth in our hearts and in our souls as far down deep as we possibly can. And whenever we're in a jam, whenever we find ourselves in situations, whenever we need Jesus, that we would call on you and that we would know that you would hear us and that we would know that you would answer us and that you would be faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we need you. We need you. We know that time is short. Our children need you. Even the adults that are our children need you. And we are calling out to you right now, and we're asking for you to come into our hearts, come into our lives, Lord. We're asking you to change situations. There's people on this line that have situations that they don't know how it's going to be work situations. Lord, we're asking for supernatural favor for your saints, for your children. We don't deserve it. You don't owe it to us, Lord, but you said to ask. You said we have not because we ask not. So we are asking humbly, Lord. We're asking humbly for you to do what we can't do for ourselves, for you to stand in the gap, Lord. Help us, strengthen us, each one of us. We all have a task to do. We all have talents you have blessed us with. Thank you, Lord, for the talents you have blessed us with. Help us to use those talents and to use every potential that you've given us to its highest degree, to your glory, to bring others to the fold, Lord, to spread the seeds around, Lord. Someone talked about how they shared their testimony with a coworker, Lord. I believe her name was Amy, Lord. Bless Amy, Lord. She's been given the truth. Don't let the devil steal it away. Bless Amy, Lord, and bless her mother. Lord, I ask that you bless Ira, and you bless his sister as well. Everyone that was mentioned in a prayer request, Lord, bless those. And there's plenty that haven't been mentioned in prayer requests, Lord, for unspoken prayers, Lord. You know what they are. Lord, I ask that those people be touched as well and not be forgotten. Lord, we thank you so much that you're a good God. You're a God that doesn't forget. You're a God that doesn't slack, doesn't sleep, isn't petty, doesn't remember our faults, Lord. You are a perfect, perfect God, and we thank you for that. Please help us where we need it. Forgive us where we need it. And strengthen us where we need it, Lord. Send us your Holy Spirit to give us all the fruits that we need to please you, to be closer to you, and to draw others to you, Lord. We ask all these blessings in the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was a powerful, powerful prayer.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, I don't know about you, but I've been blessed this morning so far. It's just, you know, I just feel closer to God today. It's just powerful. Thank you so much, Sister Martine, for that prayer. At this time, we are going to hear our speaker, but before we do, I want to go ahead and make an introduction for the speaker. She is close to my heart. She is my dear cousin. Her name is Rosaline Novea Thomas. She's an RN, BSN, MHM, but she's been in the healthcare professional nurse, and she's graduated from the University of Massachusetts in Boston, the School of Nursing. She has 20 years of med
surge pediatric dialysis, women health, ambulatory care, primary care, school of nurse, and travel nurse. She's been very, very busy and fortunate that God has been able to use her in her line of work. Her ultimate goal is to bring others to Christ. And she's married also to a wonderful man, if you heard earlier, Stephen Thomas, who was one of our prayer warriors, and which they have two beautiful stepchildren there. And she is here to make a footprint wherever she is in her existence by just, you know, simply just smile and acts of kindness. She's a very kind person. Before she comes on, we are going to also be blessed with the Song of Meditation, and Maya and Ariel Francis. They are called the SIS, which is Sisters in Song. Right before they do, I'm going to quickly just say a word of prayer for Sister Rose as she come on. Father God, Lord, we thank you so much for this time, this hour that we are kneeling before you. We are coming before you, Father in heaven. We are asking, O Lord, as Sister Rose come, that you hide her behind the cross, Father in heaven, that you impute your Holy Spirit upon her, Father in heaven, so that the words of her mouth and the meditation of her heart will be acceptable to your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen, amen. At this time, Sisters in Song.
Hello, good morning.
Come to merciful Savior, precious Redeemer, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, comforter, keeper, spirit we long to embrace. You are the hope when our hearts hopelessly are crying. Oh, we hopelessly are staying. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. Our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. It's always under for. Oh, our hearts always hunger. Almighty infinite Father, faithfully loving y'all, here in our weakness you find us, falling before your door, or falling before you are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. Our hearts always hunger. Lord. You are the one that we pray. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. I shall wait and oh, our hearts always hunger for you.
Thank you.
Happy Sabbath. Thank you for that beautiful song. It was such comforting.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you, Nikki, for inviting me to this morning prayer session this morning. Totally blessed. As I gathered all my thoughts and prayers, we're not so faithful at most times, but God is always faithful because he truly loves us. That's why I want to talk about faith. Some of you may think of fake it till you make it, but no, it's faith till you make it. What is faith? Faith is complete trust and confidence in someone or something. To restore one's faith in politicians. Faith is similar to trust and belief and confidence, conviction, and to reliance, dependence, optimism. Strong belief in God or in doctrine of religion based on a spiritual apprehension rather than proof. What does the Bible say about faith? Faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance that the Lord is working even though we cannot see it. Faith knows that no matter what the situation in our lives or in someone else's, that the Lord is working in on it. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. By faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen is not made out of what is visible. Life may have some uncertainties we cannot realize on what is presently going on in the moment, commandments and words. For it is by grace that we have been saved through faith, and it is not from ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by work. So that one can boast, and you can find that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. Faith and belief are often used in the same context, sometimes interchangeably, but they are not quite. Belief is strongly held opinion about one's idea and worldview. Belief also opinions that you found about you, what you read and what you hear and what you see. Belief can also change over time, so you can grow and learn new things. But faith is something you start and built from, faith can only be received. It must be given by God. But it remains intact. We can grow in our faith, but the foundation is always the same. That is found in James 2, verse 19. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that too. You can believe there is a God, even that there is one God. But you believe he is your God by giving us a new heart, opening up our eyes to see that he is our God and we need him. Does your faith in God change in a way you live your life? There are some who says they believe in God, but the way they live their lives does not change. They are motivated by other factors. Faith changes how we live our lives in our life. Well, there are multiple examples throughout the Bible that exemplify faith, especially in Jesus' lineage that I could apply. But I chose to apply according to Matthew 9:20-22. As we all here may recall, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and came behind and touched the hem of his garment, for she said to herself, if I can only touch his garment, I shall be made whole. Well, turn around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. Yes, the woman with 12 years of hemorrhage. Let's examine this situation. Most of us would have given up after a year without a solution. Not 12 minutes, not 12 hours, not 12 days. However, this lady was struggling with the issue of bleeding for 12 years. In our modern world, this case would be considered as chronic. She would have been weak, frail, due to the loss of fluid and substance. She would have been humiliated and shamed by the public. She held that this man is in town and he could heal me. She got bold. What did she have to lose? Despite of her 12 years of suffering, there may be a mother, a sister, or a wife, or an auntie, or grandma who can relate to the suffering. The brothers do suffer in silence. We women are determined resolving our problems when it gets hard. Back in those days, outside the public was not a place for a woman, especially among the men. The woman took a risk. All she sees and wanted to touch was the hem of his garment. Yes, it took guts. It took courage. She believed, and she built up her faith to be in the crowd on the street. Today, we must have the same faith that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We must have unmovable faith that our Redeemer has made a promise that he'll come back to take us back home. Now, you're probably asking, Sister Rose, how can I grow that faith? can grow that faith in multiple ways. We can ask God to increase our faith, especially if you're struggling with your faith. You can ask for the Holy Spirit to bestow into your life. Focus on obeying God. On one point, is it perfect? We all make mistakes. But if you focus on the following, the word of the Lord and his commandments, your faith will grow naturally. In reading and hearing the word of the Lord, will pour into your heart and your mind. And your lifestyle may be busy, but you can listen to a sermon or a Christian podcast and putting the word into your heart and soul, and that will fortify your faith, especially in rough times. Spend your time with other believers like we're doing this morning. Like the sister said, she wakes up at 4 a.m. in the morning to pray with another sister, bonding with other Christians in like-minded, to worship together, to pray together, to share our faith with each other, and hearing the journey of faith like we're doing this morning. Next time, invite a friend onto this call and do Bible studies together and do godly discipleship. Spend time fervently in prayer. Schedule a specific time. Just like I said before, the sister scheduled a time, schedule my time at 5 a.m., an hour later. But as long as you get it in, that is great. God hears, I would say it's an essence to the throne. And it makes a huge difference, the time alone spend with him to discuss anything that is on your heart and mind. Be still and listen carefully. Your faith will grow in abundance. Meaning that we're willing to go into the unknown. It's trusting God even though you don't know where he is leading you or what the outcome will be. I have been living in faith over a specific situation for almost 3 years. I have been praying over this situation fervently, and I now am going to turn out where it's going to lead me. All I can do is hang on it, and I'm waiting patiently to see the outcome. It is not easy, and it's not fun, but he's in control, and that is where I find my peace. In troubled times, such as right now, we have to keep a positive attitude, reflecting on God's promises, especially in the Psalms, praising his name in all things, in all circumstances. We need to surrender our circumstances to God, even though it may get us upset or even things are not going our way. But just leave it up to him and let God take the wheel and trust him. Be generous. Tell someone else about what God has done for you in your life. And by giving a blessing, how would I describe that? Well, I would say during the beginning of COVID, I'm in the food industry, so our doors were locked, and I was without a job. So therefore, I started to brainstorm and said, okay, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? I don't want to go into a hospital. Well, that choice was not God's choice for me, even though they were paying surmountable money for that. And I thought of travel nursing, and unfortunately that didn't come through. So a friend of mine said, Rose, she called me up and said, we have a food pantry. Could you assist in the food pantry? I said, sure. And a weekly service at the food pantry, I met several individuals, and they were like-minded, but also I shared the word of God with them while they were in the food pantry, because some people were, of course, despair. They were hopeless. So by smiling and keeping a positive attitude, I drew them to me. So then spend more time in the Word also will keep you grounded, go the other direction of feeling confused and despair. And most important, reach out to your friends and family. They're the best to do. That's the best thing to do, is to draw close to them and show them, sit down and show them that how God is wonderful in your life, and how to give them encouragement and to connect with them. I would say that if there ever was a time when we needed faith and spiritual enlightenment, it is now. Those who are watching unto the prayer and searching the scriptures daily with an earnest desire, you never stop working, even when you don't want to work. And to overcome the grave, you overcome the world. Talk faith, live faith, and act faith. The cross, that is the righteousness by faith. So my prayer for you would be, the truest act of faith, which is made possible if God's gift of grace to us is completely, you do not understand why something is happening or why it's not happening. May the Lord help each one of us grow in faith and to lean on him in good times and in bad, and help us to keep a godly mindset so that we can seek his heart and read his word and help ask him to help us to keep our trust in him. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Rosie. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Thomas. We appreciate the word. You know, just like the woman that had the issue of blood, we have to have that powerful faith. You know, she took the risk, although she was rejected, you know. And God is asking us for that same kind of faith. You know, thank you, Sister Rosie, because you showed us how to do it. We have to ask God to increase our faith. We have to obey him through his Holy Spirit,
through just spending time reading his word and hearing his word and spending time with believers, like, you know, this morning to share our faith. You know, and I like the way that you said to be still and to live in faith, you know, just sharing your personal testimony, you know, about living in faith. We have to ask God, and we have to sit still and wait in peace. We have to talk, live, and act. And then we have to just keep praising his name that he will see us through. Don't doubt. Just have faith. And that is how that we can know that God loves us, because that is our theme. How do we know that God loves us? That's how we're going to know, because he said it, and we can receive it in faith. Be blessed, brothers and sisters. At this time, Dr. Walker is going to bring us our closing remarks. But, you know, be blessed. This was such a blessing this morning.
All right. Yes, thank you so much. Yes, thank you so much, Principal LeBron. We certainly do appreciate all that you're doing as a co-host. Thank God, because it takes a lot off of me. Listen, I want to thank all of the participants this morning, first and foremost, for getting up early. Happy Sabbath. Shalom to all of you all. And I want to thank our speaker for bringing us the word, as Ms. LeBron has said. Our next event, which will be the Miracle Prayer Day, will be April 24. That's in 2 weeks. That's in 2 weeks. So please, please mark your calendars. If you are standing in the need of a special prayer, a miracle, whether it's finances, whether it's health, listen, I know, and I'm sure that everybody on this line, we know who performs the miracles. And it's just like the speaker of the hour said, it's about growing your faith. And if you really want that, I mean, just start pursuing him daily. April 24th, Miracle Prayer Day. Also, you may subscribe to this mission that we're doing to help the community. For more information on that, you can contact Ms. Woodbury about that. For more information on how you can subscribe to this mission, you can contact Ms. Woodbury. And also, to participate on the program, contact Ms. Woodbury at 561-452-0499. 561-452-0499. You can contact Ms. Woodbury. Or you may get in touch with me directly or Ms. LeBron. If you know any of us, you may contact us directly, because God wants you to use your talents and your skills and your gifts that he's given you, whether you can read a scripture, whether you can pray as a prayer warrior, do an opening song, do an opening prayer, whether you want to deliver the word. God can use anyone. If you want to, if you feel that I want to be one of the speakers to bring that inspirational word because God has impressed something upon your heart, let one of us know. If you sing, if you want to give a testimony. So please keep that in mind. At this time, we're going to go ahead and have our benediction and leave you with our prayer song. Ms. LeBron.
Yeah. Thank you, Brother Walker.
Now, let us bow our heads for benediction. Oh, Lord, Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this time that we spent with you. We ask that you, Father in heaven, that you continue to pour your Holy Spirit upon us, Father in heaven, so that the word that we heard this morning, the testimonies that we heard, the songs, Father in heaven, may remain in our hearts, Father in heaven, and so that we may have a peace that passes all understanding. We may have a faith, Father in heaven, to know that you love us so much, that you will continue to be with us on this journey until we see you face to face. Father, thank you so much for this time. And Lord, be with us and bless us as we go through this this Sabbath day, Father in heaven, to spend more time with you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And I just want to leave you all with this song. This concludes our program this morning.
I
Thank you so very much, everyone. Have a wonderful and blessed day. To God be the glory.
Thank you, Dr. Walker, and everyone on the call. Sister Marjorie, great show. God bless you all, and have a great everyone.
God bless you all.